podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Patrick finds out Sabrina is pregnant on General Hospital, Guy Wilson debuts as Will Horton on Days of Our Lives, will Liam uncover the truth about the diamond heist on Bold and the Beautiful, and is The Young and the Restless a war zone? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome, even though you're sick, you're here. Dedication, love it.
I am, and all we are saying, Television City, is give peace a chance. Give peace a chance, man!
Jillian Bo, welcome.
What's the plan, the plan?
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Melody Akles.
Hey, hey.
Well, let's talk about soaps. Jamie, Luke. I have heard a lot of metaphors when it comes to soaps. I've come up with some crazy ones myself over the years, so I have no room to really criticize. But did you ever think that they would be compared to the LA riots?
You know, I could say so much here. I'm gonna say,
for those who aren't online, yeah. Christoph St. John wrote a giant post about the implosion at YNR, called it a war zone, and compared it to the riots in which millions of dollars of damage was done, people died, and places
but
burned.
You know what, I'm not gonna, you know, a lot of people are going there, and I'm like, come on, people, how many times Seinfeld created a character called the Soup Nazi? We live in a society where in dramatic moments we tend to compare something. We say, how many times do we say this is torture when we're waiting in line for the DMV or you know, and not, I'm not talking about D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Shout out to Smitty! But,
hey, Smitty.
I can't, this is not my lesson to teach, Christoph, because I'm one of the most over-dramatic people in the world.
No.
If I'm in traffic, I'm talking about, this is worse than the Iraqi war. I'm one of those people. I do that. So, yeah, Christoph went a little overdramatic. He's a thespian. Hey, he got a little dramatic with it. But, you know, when you're being tweeted all day long. But the thing of it is, it's like,
shut
everybody
up.
At YNR is not being bombarded. Because, you know, if you just keep your head down and go to work every day, you close your mouth. Which, look, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this right now because, on the real tip, they're going to help me retire and lead a life of luxury. Because they are the gift that keeps on giving. But now I am going to say, if you do truly want this to go away, the first step is telling the YNR actors to be quiet. I mean, everybody from
hire Olivia Pope to wrangle them in and be like,
shut up, people.
It is gag order time, like.
Ace, considering the fact that last time he weighed in on something about his show, we didn't see him for six months.
That's right.
You just keep your mouth shut.
Well, you know, Christoph, they can't play that game with him because he'll have a lawsuit if they try to deny him airtime because he can point to 18 other cast members. Look, Jared Douglas got an exclusive interview. Ain't never had seen the first with Michael Muni. Ain't had seen the first with Michael Muni. And that gave an exclusive interview about it to Rugal Fix. And I'm sitting there like, you've been dead on that show ever since that boy been on there. But you're like, yeah, me and Eric, we was talking about it.
I was just like, I showed on Twitter. I was like, is Segundo Zapato or Delia going to be like, yeah, he didn't give us kibbling. He didn't give me cookies. I was like, gosh.
I'm proud.
Jerry, shut up, Jerry. Shut up, Jerry. Shut up. And Chris,
I'm proud of Kate Linder. I am so proud. Because that woman is the hardest working PR girl in the game. And Kate has not like, I'm going to tune in the inside of the night. Kate Linda going to be on that. Child, I was trying to tell my community, you know, when he first came on as Philip III. Oh, wait, he didn't play Philip III? Oh, I mean, when he came on as Ronan. No, well, whatever, you know, because I just knew Kate Linda was going to jump up in front of somebody's camera on this, and she hasn't.
Well, and considering the fact that she does so much PR, it just goes to show that not all PR is good PR, because if Kate Linda isn't doing it,
you know, I mean,
everybody is talking about it, and then it's like, that's the thing. And, you know, I love CBS and what they're trying to do, but I know they were, you know, they hope to try to move past this. But the first thing you got to do, because you can't shoot the messengers, that Jerry Douglas did his interview. Then his person who does his Twitter account goes batshit crazy. The woman he has doing his Twitter account.
What'd she say?
Tweeting, please do not ask Jerry any questions about my community. Please do not ask. Just tweet screaming it. And I'm like, girl, why y'all let Jerry wind off?
Wait. He gives an interview with Rumor Fix. No one ties him down. Rumor Fix doesn't pull a gun on him. See, Christoph, I could be dramatic too, Christoph. And he gives the interview, but she freaking out on Twitter. You need to have several seats.
You know these fans are going to have a say. So they're tweeting him, you know, the beauty fans went in, and then, you know, other people are asking him, well, tell some more. And his assistant who does his Twitter profile is like, in all caps, please do not ask him any questions. It's like, are we in the White House? Is this like Barack Obama just gave his speech on Obamacare, and it's like the press secretary is not like, no questions after.
Well, Mel, and then on top of all of that, we had Eric Braeden do an interview with Radar Online in which he said that Michael Muni wanted him off the show because Michael Muni thought he was an old lion and that Michael Muni thought he himself was a young lion.
Nah, it's a baby. Yeah,
I know.
Are we in the Lion King? Like,
Lion King or Katy Perry for the theme song?
I can't believe Eric said half of that stuff. Like, he said,
you are
they almost came with fisticuffs. And then he had the nerve to say, I just knew it was name on the show unless they've been on for 10 years.
I'd like
to close that article.
You know,
people in the comments just eviscerated him for that because it was like, you know, Billy Miller, Amelia Hindley, all these people who he works with every single day,
you know,
who have been there for less than 10 years.
What are you trying to say, Jillian?
You know, Eric, when I was reading it, because some of what he said was true, which was that I've heard that they almost came to blows.
To fisticuffs.
But whatever. Thundercats, fisticuffs.
I challenge you to a duel.
I'll punch you in the face.
I pretend that if you are mad, we ain't got to do that. Let's do that. But anyways, you know, I was like, okay, Eric. But then Eric, just his credibility just shredded like a pair of skinny jeans on Nell Carter when he was just like, I don't give a damn.
Man.
You know, I was like, you're so arrogant. I'm like, you know, I borrowed from Muni, so I'm sorry, bro. But I borrowed from it. You know, I was like, jump in that backpack of hubris, dude, because you're so, like, any credibility you had was just shot to hell with your attitude. I'm like,
but you know what, though? Let's call the truth here. I love Muni. I sometimes look at this. I really have thought, I'm like, did we help create a monster in a way? I'm not saying he's a monster as a person, but I'm meaning metaphorically here. Because we all were like, this is the new cat in town. This is the new cat in town. You know what I mean? And he was badass. He's a badass actor. But this would be like if I got a job at... what would be my dream magazine job at this point? Really none now. But just pretend it was still.
Working for Anna Winter.
Nah, that ain't never my thing. I don't care about people's panties. If I back in the day when I used to love Entertainment Weekly, which I haven't in years, but if I would have come in there and, you know, I wrote a few hot pieces and stuff, and then it's like, you know, I get some credit, you know, some praise and stuff, and then I come in there thinking, I'm going to take the editor-in-chief spot next year. You can't do that 3 years in. I'm just going to be real. 3 or 4 years in. It's like, yes, I feel Eric Braeden is an obnoxious blowhard. We've seen the evidence for 30 years, but he has earned the right. My grandmother used to have a saying, I pay these bills, so I'm the boss around here. I pay the bills to be the boss. I mean, Eric, CBS has cashed a whole lot of checks off of him and Melody's ass. So, yeah. You can't come in messing with both of them. You're messing with her about her parking lot. Making jokes. And then you coming at Eric. And yeah, Eric is arrogant. But you can't come in that man's house and tell him you finna take his house from him. I'm not saying that's what happened. That's what Eric said happened. It's a situation where you just can't do that. Not on these shows. Sarah Michelle Gellar tried it and Susan Lucci denied it. How about you? It's like, oh, little bitch, that stuff is cute you doing. Oh, you got your Emmy. Now go on and catch some vampires, because this here is my house, which, you know, Sarah got the last laugh in that. She left with her career intact. But, you know, I mean, we've seen this over and over again. Sometimes the new cub lion does take over the house. Alice Sweeney roared on up and snatched the house away from Deirdre Hall and all of them. But she is has a good relationship with those women, you know, at least for what we know. But, you know, we ain't never seen Allison Sweeney on Twitter. Yeah, Deirdre, you spoke on a wheel. You know, we haven't seen that. We didn't see, you know, Tamara Braun, you know, which there was no social media, but we didn't see Tamara Braun going, and what, Jeannie? They could have sent you up out this bitch drooling, yo. I mean, it's like, you know, and so much of it has been brought back up, you know, with the Tony Geary thing. And a lot of it is stuff that we've said as bloggers. We will say it as bloggers, like, dang, Tony Geary nominated again. But it just looks disingenuous when the actor is the one doing it.
We didn't say, like, you know, because they took it to the house because, like, you know, fans are still mad at that because, you know, I saw that Logan mention it and Carolyn Hinsey wrote about it. I'm like, damn, that was 2 years ago. They are still mad because he, like, said something like another old guy won a bunch of Emmys, or, you know, because he's been leading the charge about them Emmy reforms. Now, I remember seeing that play out on Twitter. I saw that myself, and I was like, Lord, I'm like, if you think them Y&R fans are crazy, I'm like, them GH fans and them Tony Geary and Luke Spencer fans don't play. And they shut it down, and then he, you know, made a mea culpa and whatnot. But, you know, yeah, like that, I guess, you know, one of my things I tell people is like, I guess, you know, sometimes things don't translate well on Twitter. That's why I like doing a podcast, because you can actually tell if someone is joking instead of when you see it in print. You can't tell, you know? So maybe he was joking. Some people didn't take it that way. Obviously, Carolyn Hinsey didn't take it that way. But, yeah, like...
Well, there's another element to this in the fact that if you are abrasive and you go from newcomer to lead and you're at the top of things, there will be a lot of resentment that can build up. And when you make comments like the ones that Muni has done over the years during his time, when you fall from grace, it becomes all that more spectacular because the people who you stepped on the way up are relishing your departure.
My thing of it is, with when a lot of this stuff happens, though, I think these people just really, and Kristoff's tweet really illustrates that, they live in bubbles. Y'all are getting paid upwards of $5,000 to $7,000-$8,000 an episode to do what somebody doing theater in Poughkeepsie would love to do. It's like, it's not a war zone. No, it's not a war zone. And for Muni, who, again, huge fan of his work, if the other actors in your scenes don't tweet you saying that they like what you do, who cares? Exactly. That is not just cause to go have a Chernobyl meltdown because, yo, did that check clear from Sony? That's all the praise I would need, is if my check cleared from Sony Television America, whatever it's called now, Columbia TriStar of the United States. If my check clear every week, I don't give a who, how, what, when, where, why. If the other people who was in the scene where we was talking about the dead baby didn't praise me, I would not let that make me go on to the Twitter and act a fee-fi-fo fool. You know, because this is the thing. None of us know about Michael nor Hunter have spoken about all the other allegations, but it's kind of like the boy that cried wolf. You know, the people on the set, some of them feel they know some things or whatever, but because of the fact that they already didn't like him because of all this other stuff, it seems very easy for everybody to jump up and say, yeah, I didn't like him. I didn't like him either. But the thing of it is, I can count, and it really speaks to this, because especially with some of my favorite shows that are no longer here, it seems like every one of my favorite stars, I'm not going to name their names for once, but every, I hear over, like, I'll be like, oh, I love insert person. Oh, well, you know, he got fired because he had actresses afraid to come out of their dressing rooms. Oh, no. Oh, I love this actress. Oh, she threw an Emmy at somebody's head. I mean, it seems like with this industry, the more popular people behind this, you know, kind of can be divas and divos. And Eric is the master of that. He hit a man in the head with his forehead. So, I mean,
Well, you know, just, you know, this whole situation, man, it just makes me mad that nobody is saying nothing, because to me, this is just me. I'm like, if he was that bad, if he was such an asshole, like how everybody is chiming in, I'm waiting for, you know, Patty's cat. Stuffed cat. Oh, I walked right into this one. Mr. Kitty. Damn, I walked right into that one. Damn it. I'm just waiting for Mr. Kitty to be like, well, you know, he pissed in my cup or something. Like, if it was that bad, why didn't he get fired? That's why when Maria came with her soliloquy, I was like, ma'am, shut your face up.
Maria didn't know whether she was coming or going, though. She's like, this is a travesty. It's going to be hard to recast. And then the day after the grope.
The next day.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I was painting a picture of a pomegranate.
You know, that's why I was just like, you know, do what you do. Stretch your stuff on a red carpet in some tacky fashion that was 2-3 seasons ago. You know, and shut up. Like, if he was that bad, why didn't you fire him? Like, it just makes me...
to fire somebody, not to South
of France. True that. Like, it just, to me, some of the things that people are saying, I don't know, this is just my personal belief. Since he is not saying anything and he cannot defend himself, I feel like some of these people are just doing a hit job on him because he ain't saying nothing. All these people.
And neither one of the main allegations, neither one of them have said anything. And
apparently they can't.
Hunter should be able to say whatever she wants or be as silent as she wants, because she is the alleged victim in this claim, and her name never should have been leaked out. You know, I feel like this was like, okay, people are blaming Jill. Let's get the heat off Jill and let's just tell why he really got fired. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's devolved into this ugliness, and now we have the actual show in a rebuilding state with a new head writing team, you know, that barely has got the ink wet, you know, with their writing, and they're trying to they're going to have to rebuild this show creatively. The ratings are good. Now, that's one good thing. They had, YNR had its best ratings the week before Christmas, I think, or, you know, Christmas week, that holiday week, I think it was the best in 3 years. So the ratings, and that's a testament to this whole team that even in the midst of creatively, they kept the viewers. They kept the eyeballs. Now it's like, how can they turn the conversation back to what is on screen? And
they need
before we turn this conversation to what's on screen, Mel, I want to ask you one last thing. This last week, Muni fans chartered their plane.
See, I'm trying to get it off Muni, everybody in the world.
The one last beat that we have to cover, though, from the last week is fans' plane.
Look up in the sky. Mel,
what did you think?
The plane. Look,
took how much ever they spent that $800 and threw it in the trash. Because that's basically what they did. Said, oh, let's just go fly a plane over the studio, and the executives will know that we just care so much about Michael Muni and we love him so much. Okay, y'all should have took that $800 and threw it in the trash. I'm sorry, because that's essentially what y'all did.
Could you, or donated it to a charity in his name or something?
People charity. That would be appropriate.
God, what with the plane situation, a lot of people are trying to shade it, saying, oh, they flew it over the wrong building. At first, I was like, did they, you know, Studio City, Television City, Nutbush City? I couldn't fit, you know, so much cities around there. I was like, God, I got it confused. But apparently, they wanted to fly it over where the brass is at. That's Angelica, Steve, and I think possibly Les. But they flew it over Y&R Studio. So people are like, ha, 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 they flew it over the wrong studio. Technically, they didn't, because the people who they wanted to see it were actually in the building. Steve Kent is always on set over there. You forget that Angelica has more than one show that she deals with that is filmed over there. That's B&B, Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal. And the day that they...
The talk,
thank you. And the day that they flew that plane over there, guess what? They had a meeting there, and they had a meeting there that
a
day.
A meeting, supposedly, about everybody shutting up about Michael Beasley.
And I'm sure that meeting was inside four walls, so I don't know what your plane is doing.
They probably have them locked in a bunker somewhere.
Those actors were texting their publicists during that meeting. Can you get me 5 minutes on Inside Edition? I want to talk about my community.
About Nikki and Dylan. Jillian, what did you think this last week?
It just came to a
screech. When you switch from talking about the behind the scenes to the storyline, and that's the level of enthusiasm you get, you got a problem. You got a problem, Shell.
You know, I mean, all
it's so bad.
It is. It's terrible. It's terrible. If everything was firing on all cylinders like Dave's, GH, and B&B, you know, we would be like, forget the Munigate thing. Let's get to the juice. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. Let's get to the hot stories, to dissect it, talk about what we like, what we want to see, and what things they could tweak. But then we have Dylan. God, it is just so boring. And you know, I don't understand it. Like, I just feel like I want to jump through my TV and just scissor kick him in his throat. Your mother told you that she was raped and taken advantage of by this perv. He was a cult leader. You've heard this, Avery. I blame you, girl. Avery dug up the information and told you, and yet I still want to find out about him. Why, Dylan? I want to see if there's some good in him. What's wrong with you? Like, I just want Victor to, I want Victor to just plumb go off and peg butt him. He's just so
And Jessica Collins deserves hazard pay, because all of their scenes consist of her. I can't think of one romantic scene between these two people. You know,
But they pet rocks.
That's the thing. And I really am intent in 2014 in us moving the conversation forward.
Because I understand.
Pet rock was 7 months ago. Let's talk about what happened last week.
They have not had a romantic scene since the first.
Wait, let me finish. Because since they got back together and now they're a couple, there's no romance between them. There's just these intense arguments about, if you really love me, you'll take me to find your pervy daddy with you. I'm in this with you. No, I don't want you to go. I want to go. Oh, but I don't want you to go. We need to define where we are. Y'all haven't even kissed. He hasn't even fingered you. What is going on? You haven't even gotten
Jamie
to second base. No, I'm serious. 14-year-old boys
have
gotten
this
further.
This is
14-year-old boys. 14-year-old boys have gotten further in their relationships than Dylan in this epic love with Avery. We have all of this backstory, backpacks full of backstory, forget hubris, about the
rock
and their torrid affair. But all we ever get on screen is them talking to death. I'm like, shut up and put your tongue down her throat or something. At least with Nicholas Newman, she was, you know, having fantasies of, you know, rubbing cupcake icing on his penis naked and all this other stuff. But with Dylan, we get these angsty conversations. Then he does the Jason Morgan sigh, which worked so much better in Port Charles. Not that
It worked better when he was supposed to be brain damaged. It doesn't work now.
It doesn't, and you know, and I feel bad for Steve too, because that's a hard story to sell. I really want to find my pervert Branch Davidian chief dad. I have to. Sigh. Dylan, please let me be part of this with you. Sigh. No, Avery. Sigh.
I mean, to be like, do you have asthma? I want her to ask him, you have asthma? What's all this heavy breathing for?
Why are they sitting in that kitchenette, that sherbet kitchenette, talking so much? Talking. YNR has always been a talky soap, but there's a lot of sex in between the talking. There's no sex, and then there's all this talking, and then she goes and talks, and I love her bond with Leslie. I love that the newer characters are friends, but you know, Leslie got the cold feet about Neil, which I totally get that a little bit more, because Leslie is like, wait a minute. Yeah, he fine and all, but he an alcoholic, and he got this one kid that's really his brother's daughter, and the other one they found on the doorstep, and you know, and then he got this other little boy.
He got Hezekiah.
He got two ex-wives.
Moses.
And this Drusilla that everybody won't shut up about, so I can kind of see her frustration in her relationship, but when Avery is talking, I'm like, you left Nick in that cold-ass park waiting to marry you because this dude was on your doorstep shivering. You invited him into your sherbet house, and now all y'all do is talk. Y'all don't kiss. Y'all don't hug. Y'all don't romance. Y'all got a song. I want something more than this. We still want something more if we're supposed to invest in this storyline. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jessica is so cute. Her little hairdos are on point. She's in her little black dress. And they just got her just begging and pleading like Keith Sweat for this dude to take her to meet the pervert with her. And then Nikki's like, Dylan, you can't do this. I'm like, Nikki, you got $500 billion. Hire some henchmen to kidnap his dumb ass and tie him up in the barn. I'm doing this for your own good, Dylan. Just lock him, put him in that room where Victor put Julia's. Remember when Victor put Julia's lover down there in the barn? Put people down there and just tie him up. Tell Victor. See, Nikki, this is how they can bond. Victor, I've been trying to tell Dylan not to go find him. He wants to find the man who raped you? That's stupid, but this is the boy you want to put in your will, you dummy. I should have left you on the pole. And then let Victor take over from there. Tie him up under the ground like he did that man, and tell him, when you get this fool idea out of your head, we'll let you back up. And then Avery can wander around going, I want something more than this, until, you know, maybe Nick grins at her and they can get back together.
Yes.
Mel, let's talk about something more. Something more interesting, but not by much.
What?
Liam, Hope, and Wyatt, and Liam's sniffing out the truth about the diamond. What did you think of B&B this week?
Stephanie's brooch. That's what that is.
Stephanie's brooch. I mean, you know, Wyatt was behind the heist, and they got that bumbling security guard thinking he's, oh, I figured it out and everybody loves me, but you know, we all know the truth behind it, and Quinn is trying to protect her son, so there's a couple of interesting dynamics going on there, but mostly I just enjoy Quinn going off on people. So
Jamie, what did you think?
I hate this twist because I really wanted to believe, you know, that Wyatt was a hero. I used to like Liam.
I thought you figured that Wyatt was behind this. Like,
well, yeah, I always. I mean, they. You know, it's not. Look, it's not like there was a lot of, you know, intricate foreshadowing and red. I mean, you pretty much knew he was from the very beginning.
The day that he started to. Oh, well, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I didn't want it to be that way because I really like. I would rather it just be Quinn being unscrupulous, rather than Wyatt being unscrupulous, because I really like Wyatt as a option for Hope, because I like Hope. I've always liked Hope. I've liked Hope ever since she was sired on Brooke's bedroom set. You know, ever since she was sired on that. No, Dickon. Yeah, you know, so I've always had a soft spot for Hope. I remember when Stephanie delivered her and told her mama she was a slut for having her. But, you know, I just, I'm so tired of Liam and Hope. You know, true. I'm so tired of Liam. And I feel that Wyatt speaks for the audience. And so does Quinn in pointing out that, you know, he used his penis as like a divining rod between her and her sister. It's like, oh, it's pointing this way today. Oh, it's pointing back over there. I think I'll find oil over here. Oh, I think I might find oil over here. You know,
that's why I like the fact that he is getting his just desserts.
But now if he proves that this diamond thing was a farce, then, you know, he'll be the conquering hero. And, you know, I love my Hope, but she's nothing if not wishy-washy herself. And, you know, that's all it'll take to run back into Liam's arms. And I'm just ready for, with Bold and the Beautiful, I'm still at where I've always been, even when I like the show. With their younger set, I need for these people to become more fully realized human beings. Yes, Hope has a fashion line. Yes, Wyatt runs his family's, you know, upstart jewelry business. Yes, Liam is a publisher. But it seems like these people, again, if you watch Gossip Girl after the seasons where they, you know, not the high school seasons, when they come of age and Blair is trying to run Waldorf Fashions and Nate is trying to run the tabloid. I mean, the romance is still front and center, but you really feel like Nate Archibald is trying to make Chuck Bass, Nate Archibald. Yeah, you felt like Nate Archibald was trying to make a go of that tabloid on that show. You really felt like Chuck Bass was trying to match his father in real estate. Yeah, they were screwing everybody. Tika Stumpton even came on there and got screwed. Everybody got screwed. But it wasn't just about who was going to kiss who. And I just still feel that B&B is so light and fluffy with that. It's like, yes, well, I'm hoping I run an international fashion business, but I'm just going to run away to Hawaii because I got my feelings hurt. And then it's like, I love you, Hope. I'm like, Katie should fire Liam's ass. I know that he done missed out all kind of photo shoots, rushing and racing across the country. It's like, define their lives more than just...
Brad did say he wanted it to be like One Tree Hill, child.
But that ain't One Tree Hill. One Tree Hill was
better than this.
One Tree Hill was not fluffy duffy. They actually cared about their careers and friendships
like
and personal lives,
heaven,
too.
Then. I guess this is like
25 years
heaven.
Later, it isn't two triangles that are basically carbon copies with new faces in them, sometimes, literally and figuratively. Mel, or Jillian, I mean, what did you think of Ridge and Katie this last week?
They are. Oh, I'm loving it. You know I'm loving this. I've been dying for this. They got it. They got that chemistry. Sorry, Mrs. Ron Moss. You know, she been shading. Talk about, I wouldn't put Ridge with Katie. That's so random. Girl, that's why you ain't a writer there. Hush. Go make
Stop
your kick ass.
Stop giving that woman. Stop giving that woman any publicity.
The one on there shading.
She is the Cola Booth of Bold and the Beautiful. Let's just get that.
But I'm loving it. I love it because this will teach Luck. You know, I'm a Brooke fan, but this will teach Brooke. You know, Brooke always knows. Like, come on now. Since we've been watching this show, I don't care who Ridge is with. He always comes back from that blonde bombshell from the valley. He always comes back to her goodies. For her man to be, you know, her one true love to be sniffing around her sister, for her to be like, it's always between Ridge and I. And then when she sees, she'd be like, wait a minute, bitch. And this will teach Bill a lesson, too. Like, Bill so shits on Katie so hard. He poo-poos on her so hard. And they're driving her. Shut your face. And they're driving her home. Point, you know, they've been driving on the point where Katie is like, you know, Brooke is so beautiful. I am the wallflower. I am the walrus. Goo goo gachoo. You know, they've been driving that point home about her not being the pretty one. And for someone like Ridge to come sniffing around, I am loving this. And you know, Bill is such an alpha male. Like, he don't want Katie, but you know, Bill. Someone else sniff around her, he gonna be like, hold up, what you doing around her? So, Love it, love it, love it.
Jamie, what did you think of Guy Wilson's debut as Will Horton on Days of Our Lives?
It's okay. I mean, he knew. You know, he knew. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was...
If I was Goldilocks,
I'm in that the middle porridge, you know. You know, I'm waiting for the porridge that's just right. But, I mean, he's okay. I mean, he wouldn't have been my choice. But I'm not going to, I'm not dogging him. He might win me over.
Giving him that one.
He looks a little too old for the role to me. But he's not a bad actor. I don't really have a reaction either way. I mean, he is that Kelly Capwell after Robin Wright. I don't know her name, but he's just that one where I'm like, okay, that's nice. You know, when are we getting to Carrington Garland?
See, and like when he debuted this last week, I told Reagan, I said, he sort of looks like he should be playing Peter Pan on Broadway.
Well, so does every Will Horton ever.
I don't think Chandler did.
Chandler was born for green tights and thong up his butt. What are you talking about?
I would have liked for Drew Garrett to be in the role, but I'm going to give this cat a month like how we normally do.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
Look, Dave's coming to tell y'all, they don't care if y'all give him 8 months. He already done filmed 12 months.
Yeah.
We ain't got... Dave's is opinion proof, basically. I actually think that's part of their success. Dave's is like, we're like an HBO show. You can be mad that Sookie is screwing the Werepanther, but it's too late because we filmed that last summer and nothing we can do to change it. So,
Jillian, what did you think of Abby and EJ this last week?
Samantha Jean. I can't even call her Sammy. I got to call her by her government. Samantha Jean Brady is going to burn Salem down. She's going to destroy Salem. Like, Abby ain't going to have nowhere to run. She's going to be praying that somebody abduct her and take her to Alamania or wherever. Because Sammy is going to just destroy that girl. It ain't even going to be a fair fight. It really ain't going to be a fair fight. You know, I like the fact that Abby is the one that has come between, well, sort of, kind of, with EJ and Sammy, because you would never guess sweet, innocent, doe-eyed Abby would be throwing that dust on EJ. So she,
Karen could have told her.
Well, you know she gonna call Carrie and be like, girl,
that's
you
the
know
thing.
That.
See, that's why you got to stay friends with your sister, because Carrie and Sammy don't have no good relationship. If she was friends with Carrie, if Sammy would have been like texting Carrie, yeah, I saw EJ. I mean, Abby was at my house today. She would have been like, girl, you better get that little hot ass bitch out your house.
Yeah, I mean,
she tried to screw Austin slowly.
But see, this is what I like the part most, because even though, Carrie, gave her a roundhouse, didn't Carrie punch Abby?
Carrie slapped the fire out of Sammy in front of Jennifer and Jack.
No, Abby, right? You said
yeah,
Sammy.
Carrie slapped Abby in front of her mama and her daddy.
Carrie got to have some black in her, because that's a black woman move.
It take Carrie a while to figure stuff out, but what she does, she punch you in the face. She gets
When for her to slap Abby in front of her family, she got to have some black in her for that.
She gets Abby in her wedding dress. Sammy had her hair up in them twists.
Yeah, I remember that. This is the part. I mean, we know Carrie like a book. Carrie takes her a while. 1 + 1. Carrie it's 2. And then she goes slap crazy. Sammy, on the other hand, Sammy gonna catch on.
Shoots first.
And Sammy gonna torture you. She's gonna make you, whenever you see EJ, even if you get flashbacks of EJ just making you stretch and go, ow. She gonna make you so scared to even have a flashback when she finished with you. So that's why I'm just enjoying it. She's so clueless. Ooh! For her to pull one over on Samantha Jean, it's gonna be...
Well, but Abby did say that Samantha was going to kill her.
Yeah.
She knows.
She knows! And she gonna, Will gonna be like, Mom, she's family. You know Sammy gonna be like, damn that, Will. I'm your blood. And that bitch messed around with your mama's man, and I ain't having that.
That's going to be epic because Lucas is going to have to, they're going to have Lucas involved. That's Lucas's niece. You know, that's Sammy's childhood sweetheart's niece. I mean, and you know, I mean, they still have to deal with the fact that it's like the Hortons are already going to be ticked off when they find out Sammy killed one of them. It's like, this is, Days is just.
Do you actually believe he's dead?
No.
No, but I'm playing along for the sake of the ship, for the story. But no, I don't think he's dead. But I mean, you know, I mean.
Let the record show you gave me a hard time for weighing in on this current state of Sabrina and Patrick and said, you know, he's not going, she's not going to be.
I don't even, that don't even make no sense. If you were a lawyer, they would throw you out of court. Because yo, that, let the record, Claire Huxtable said, don't ever use that phrase again unless you're going to make sense.
Jamie, what did you think this last week of JJ? And his trying to get under Teresa's thumb.
Teresa is giving me life. Jen Lilly is like, don't be sad that Eileen is gone, y'all, because She ain't Eileen, but she got her training boots on. She got her Eileen training boots on. And when that boy was in that, in Dopa's, I'm going to call that park Dopa's Park from now on, because, you know, in my day, the Horton strolled lovingly through the park. Now you go there to get dope. Well, JJ was all about to confess to Dr. Jonas, who I don't hate anymore. I started to write a post about this. When did I stop hating Dr. Jonas? Anyway, he's trying to confess.
When he's out of scenes with Jennifer.
Right. He's trying to confess to Dr. Jonas. He looks over his shoulder, and all he sees is Teresa looking at him. And Jen Lilly did an eye trick with her eyes that I haven't seen anybody pull off since Deirdre Hall had on lime green contacts. She looked at him like, boy, say something else. Say something doggone else. And then she went up there. She said, you bastard. She has a hiss to her voice. Jen Lilly does, like Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe. You bastard. You know, and she had already just gotten into it with Brady at the Dopa's convention. they were at a AA meeting, which is so funny. It's like they need to take the anonymous out of Alcoholics Anonymous, because she's all, Aunt Maggie's your sponsor. Yep. I'm like, so y'all ain't supposed to be telling everybody's on dope and drugging, you know, drinking. Aunt Maggie don't need everybody to know that she dips in the cooking sherry every once in a while. But so they're sitting there, and she's like, oh, you and I are related. Like, because you're like, we were like 18 cousins once removed. And he goes, nope, not anymore. I just felt out that the only connection I have to the Brady's is my first name. Well, lucky you, because it can be a nightmare being a Brady. And Brady looked at her and said, you selfish little bitch. You know, they cut to commercial, then it comes back, and she's like, you bastard, aren't you the one that got my cousin father, Eric, in trouble? You know, and he's like, bitch. And she said, bastard! And it's, I'm like, Jen Lilly is saying, I'm here, and I'm acting, and it's good. It's not
that
like...
That is Sammy Jr. right there. Like, if, you know, if we want to next, you know, we've been talking about the next generation and Sammy, EJ, and them on the next generation. That is your Samantha Jean.
I'm going to tell you to go back one further, because her sister name is Eve Donovan. That's Eve Jr. She giving Jennifer the blues. She is showing out. That's Eve. Long when Sammy was still in Colorado, running around on the slopes, running into the bells on the slopes. Eve Donovan was wrecking shop in Salem. That's her baby sister.
I just thought of something. What if Teresa and Sammy team up to take down Jennifer and Abby?
That could be interesting. Make Sammy tap into her. That's why, like, you know, my E-Jammy fans, Lord have mercy, some of them have just lost their minds. They just done gone crazy. They doing these silence things. They're so upset. And I'm like, guys, this is good storytelling. This is going to give us back the Sammy we want. Because Sammy has been very bitchy this year, but she still hasn't been super bitch Sammy. The Sammy that I know and love didn't need anybody to cover her tracks. Remember when the only person Sammy had helping her was that idiot Jamie girl? That was her only henchman. And Sammy pulled out
and Lucas. And Lucas, too.
And Lucas.
Well, now, yeah, and they were both soldiers in the Sammy army. Now Sammy has to have EJ cover everything up. Sammy Brady ain't never scared. And I'm ready for when she finds out. You know, I still definitely want EJ and Sammy to get their wedding and be happy. But for me, happy doesn't mean what it means for most soap fans. Because the happy that most soap fans claim they want is boredom. When you get that kind of happy, you get sent off on cruises. Ask Susan Seaforth Hayes. They used to have tumultuous, sexy betrayal and all sorts of stuff. Doug and Julie cheated and lied and schemed against each other for 20 years. The moment that they got happy, they will play a shuffleboard. So I'm ready for this revelation to make Sammy morph back into the super bitch she used to be.
Mel, this was a hard week for me this last week watching General Hospital for the simple fact that it was unbearable to watch Morgan sacrifice Ava to go undercover to spy on his dad. What did you think of Ava and Morgan
this
last week?
That was good drama, though, because you realize that it's not just some affair, you know, that they actually kind of have feelings towards each other. Like, to see Morgan just go off on Ava like that, and then Ava was genuinely hurt, you know what I mean? And then you see her in the hallway, and he sent her a text, and he was like, baby, I'm sorry, I had to make it look good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, they kind of actually do care about each other. It was kind of cute. I don't know.
I agree, but it made me feel bad because I like them so much together, and now they're not going to be able to be together.
I mean, your pearls in your closet.
I don't know. It was good. They're working out. But, you know, I liked Ava versus Carly myself.
Oh.
Because, y'all, Mara West was giving me Carly Tenny T's.
Oh, absolutely.
Feeling it. I was like,
they finally have a female who can hold their own with Laura in a scene. I'm not, you know.
Forget Brenda Barrett.
Shut your filthy face. But, I will say that, yeah, since Laura took over Carly, I mean, we all know Sarah Brown was the super bitch Carly that everybody will always remember.
She was the Carly.
But she had people who, well, Vanessa hung with her in a scene when they were battling, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
I love me some Vanessa. But Laura Wright opens up her mouth and Vanessa explodes into dust whenever they had those scenes. So Laura has basically been like, bring them on. It's like, you know, if it's a street fight, Laura is out there with her hair back in, you know.
Break your bottles with, and shit.
She got her hair braided back in cornrows.
She got her earrings off.
Y'all.
She got her Vaseline.
Okay. Yeah, she's like, Laura, bring on one. She's like, y'all keep talking about these GH Supergirls. Bring them. Bring it. And, you know, one by one, Laura has been sending them on back home. But Mara West is like, uh-uh.
You must not know about me. I was called Lee Tenney, and I'm up in here to play.
She got on her Chuck Taylors. She got some Dookie braids on. She got on her earrings.
Yeah. She showed up talking about, I heard this was your house. Well, I just got a new key made.
She is like, knock if you buck, bitch. It is so good. It is so good.
It makes for a better show. Whenever you have two women who can go head up like that, mm-hmm. whether it be those two or Strasser and Slazak or McKenzie and Wyndham, you have a show.
Right.
Amen.
Jess Swalton and Jeannie Cooper, Michelle Stafford and Victoria Rowell, you know, all the backstage stuff be damned on screen, they were killer. And when you have that on a soap opera, when you ever have two females who can, you know, you put one on one side of the chessboard and one on the other and just smash them into each other, it's a beautiful thing.
Agree.
And I think this year is going to be a beautiful year
on
General
Hospital.
It ain't going to be beautiful for Franco because everybody thinks he done cut up Carly like a cod in the back of that car.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because, okay, I get what you're saying. Franco's getting crap because people don't believe it. But if I have to hear Michael say, I don't care about me, I only care about Jocelyn, and just brush the fact aside that he was raped and it's all about his little sister.
When did he say that?
Last week, like when they were at the table when when Carly was trying to get him to be open to Franco, he goes, I don't care about me, but I'm worried about Jocelyn. Well, and then later Luke, on, it's like,
probably
and
it's because like,
this guy, I mean, who a rape, you mean to tell me that a rape victim is just going to be like,
he said he was pissed off about that at first. But Luke, it kind of makes sense. He's over the rape. He's collecting Social Security. His little sister's still a kid. So that kind of does make sense.
What?
He's saying, you know, Michael is collecting Social Security now. You know, he's out of the house. Jocelyn has yet to be sore-assed. Michael was literally sore-assed, but it's over.
If you're a victim of a major crime, and then your mother
what
starts
you
dating
want
the person.
Michael to do? I'm gonna. Do you want Michael to get a T-shirt? I was butt raped in prison. And
no,
talk about.
But I would like. I would like him to act like it's not. It had an emotional impact on
you
him.
You are acting like that. This is something.
He always. Like, he always acts like. Oh,
with this. He has it never talked happened. About that. Sonny talked about that. Sonny screamed, yeah, Sonny raped in prison! You know?
And see, that's the thing. Sonny talks about it. Other people talk about
Michael
it.
Michael did, too. His
with
point
Kiki,
was...
Didn't he talk about it with Kiki? With Lauren. My bad, with Lauren.
Michael has addressed that. His point in saying, Jocelyn is still a defenseless child. Michael can... up now, you know. I mean, that's what he's saying. You know, he can defend
Michael
his own buttocks.
Right, Michael was in jail.
He can defend his own
buttocks. Michael was in jail and was helpless. He's on the outside now. He just needs to knock on Sonny's door and be like,
Jocelyn. Which is it's short sighted that he's so worried about Jocelyn, because if she was there, Heather Weber would have never stood a chance, because she would have used her Children of the Corn powers to blast Heather across. I put my money on Jocelyn against any of General Hospital's supervillains, but he was basically just meaning that one is still a kid, so that's why I'm worried about her.
Like, yeah,
Jillian,
Michael has access to Sonny's 10,000 guns. Jocelyn just has access to her jump rope, so I get it.
Jillian, I want to ask you about
thoughts. Leave her with that jump rope with Cameron then, because Liz will come back and be crying again.
Jillian, I want to ask you about your thoughts on Sam and Silas this last week. What do you think happened with Silas and his wife? Or do you care?
I mean, it's good for good drama when Sam read him for Phil. It was like, I don't want to see you again, you bitch, you. And when he read her right back, I was like, ooh, are they having face-off? What's this? I don't know what happened.
I think threw Natalie off the roof and sorry.
I'm so sad now. Bastards. Prospect.
Hard to say, Brooke. I'm going to tell you what I thought about him when the forensics team showed up. I did have a moment where I'm like, oh, I need Natalie to show up and mess everything up with her no forensics.
We need Melissa Arthur. So bad.
When I saw those forensics coats, I said, oh, where's Natalie to mess everything up for Uncle Bo?
Mel, what did you think of Heather and Carly this last week? The one thing that bothered me about it is Carly's tied up in the boathouse. She's obviously can move around and make noise, and yet she hears Monica and AJ outside talking, and she doesn't make a racket even though she's gagged. It's not like she couldn't
knocked
make...
over that ice. Did you watch the show?
I know what she's saying.
She wasn't immobilized, so she could have been like banging her feet on the floor.
The hooker knocked over the ice chest, and AJ was like, what was that? That was raccoons, AJ.
The ice chest was a one-time thing. If you were tied up and had a woman threaten you to kill you with a knife, and she was gone, and
she
you heard voices,
a knife. She had a gun. What you talking?
Yeah. Well, it was a knife at that point. Heather came. Heather has an arsenal. She had a gun. She had a knife. She had a gun. She had a knife.
If your kidnapper is gone and you hear people outside, you don't stop at only knocking over a cooler. You make as much noise as possible. She had the opportunity to do it because she wasn't
Luke, if Mel, Republican president of the United States, you don't keep sneaking off to get some dussy from your black PR strategist either. But if you don't do that, you don't have a show called Scandal. If you do everything you should do on a TV show, then you don't have a TV show. It's like,
no.
But
I actually thought it would be... If AJ was the one who rescued Carly, that would be a good...
Praise Days, and I'm loving Days, but I was just talking to my roommate about how stupid Nicole was today on Days. If you come out of your living into your living room and see a strange man in your living room on your wannabe boyfriend's computer and you are in a towel from the shower, do you go, what are you doing in here? No, you would ease back into your room, get you some clothes on, and look for a baseball bat. But Nicole,
and call 911.
If people on soap operas did what they were supposed to do, the genre would have went off the air with Painted Dreams.
I mean,
Maldo, what did you think?
I mean, it's your typical kidnapping. I always love to see Heather. You know, she had that knife in Carla's face, and she telling her, I'm going to go get you.
Real,
and
right.
You know, my friend called tried to kill me and all this stuff. But I can't believe I'm about to defend you, Luke. Heaven on earth, what is happening? I get what you said about Carly. You know, she could have made more noise. Like, I felt like she could have screamed or something. Like, granted, she had a handkerchief in her mouth, but that don't mean that you couldn't have said something. I was kind of like, you're not going to try to, you know, say something, scream. That could have been done a little bit better.
Heather
smell
real right, boy. You can't.
I'm telling you, if y'all didn't see Days, you compare these two kidnappings, and you will say Carly is a better kidnapping victim than Nicole Walker. Nicole walked out of there in her towel, confronted a Demara henchman, and then she's like, I'm getting out of here! And then the man grabs her up in her towel. She falls butt naked, and he jigs her with the knife. The syringe. It's like Carly at least didn't see Heather coming. Nicole walked out, the man was turned away from her. She could have ran her naked butt out the door. But what'd she do? What are you doing in here? And then he's like, Daniel sent me. No, Daniel didn't send you. You know that this is not looking right, but you just stand there butt ass naked looking silly. Soap operas do this all the time.
I do think they need to get Heather one of those little, you know, mustaches so they can just glue it right on her so she can twirl it. Because that is where we are with Heather.
Nobody does a twirl better than Robin Master.
She is so mustache twirling now. Oh, my God.
Jillian, what did you think of the new promo released showing Lucas back in Port Charles?
I didn't see it. Honestly, I didn't see it. So.
Okay, Jamie, what'd you think?
Lucas has gone from twink to professor. He's like now the handsome professor at a college.
I hope he takes Brad away from Felix, because Felix is getting on my last nerve.
Oh,
Didn't y'all like when Brad ran him for filth and was like, you a nosy bitch, man. Shut your face.
Be about to get your wish, because this big fight that they had is going to lead one of them into running it. I'm not going to tell who, but this is going to lead
one. You tell me after this podcast, right?
Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's going to lead one of them right into the arms of Mr. Stansberry Jones.
Thank you, Jesus. I hope it's Brad, because I am tired of Felix.
Oh, me too.
Look, I was a Felix fan. I was the defender of Felix. And I know Sabrina's your ace boom, but damn, like, you are so nosy. Like, he is the black gay Amy Vinen. That's Amy Vinen right there. Like, I want Robin to come on staff, and when he get up in her grill, I want Robin to be like, bitch, you gonna clean some bed pads. Oh, he get on my nerves.
That is a character whose trajectory is going straight down the hill.
I want Sabrina to be frying some huevos rancheros, and when he get home, I want her to scald him with some hot grease.
Did y'all hear him?
I want him. I do. I love Felix, but he need to be scalded with some hot grease after that, because that girl told you specifically not to go tell her man, ex-man, Robin's man, that she's pregnant. And you didn't stay at that hospital. You hadn't even checked
girl,
in yet.
You know, Patrick is like, how's the weather? Sabrina pregnant. I'm like, no, you're so annoying. Felix is really getting on my nerves.
And you know, see, this is the thing. And somebody a Robin fan came for me, and I am a Robin fan. I've been a Robin fan for 20 years, but I was a much bigger Robin and Jason fan than I've been. You ain't never really heard me holler Scrubs, 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 you know, unless we talk about TLC, because I like Scrubs, but I don't love Scrubs, because Robin with Jason was still this sweet, endearing girl who I adore.
That was good.
But Robin with Patrick is a nag. She hasn't nagged this time because she's been too busy saving the world and freeing herself from the Cassidines and everything. But when she started talking today about, I put my name in the running for chief of staff, I just took a deep breath. I said, she'll get that clipboard back. And she's going to go right back into being bossy little Robin, showing up with that clipboard, getting on my nerves, because she nagged the dog mess.
Well, I hope she nags Felix to death, because he is so...
He is on the verge of needing a major character rehab. Like, it's bad. It's that bad. But Mel, what did you think of Puss in Boots claiming the child as his?
He came out the shadow. It is my baby. It is my baby. And I was like, oh, Puss in Boots, here we go. He wanted to run away.
Not using a condom. I'm like, he should have just said, yes, doctor, I soiled her with my love juice.
I know they have to write in her pregnancy because she's pregnant and you can clearly see it. Because that's
they don't have to. They did with Kiki.
Wait, let me. When she's plunked her ass on that couch, that's when I was like, what's up with that? What's going on with that? You know, but Patrick and Sabrina just came out of one. You don't have to do this. I wouldn't care if she was behind a potted plant. They could have said, you know, and people were like, then how would you explain her leaving? Carlos ran away. Sonny was trying to chase them, and they ran away, and they on the run. Boom. Mm-hmm. You could hide that when she on maternity leave. I'm like, God. Like, I'm not in the mood to see this girl and the pregnancy and Felix. And
we need to tell Patrick. And we can raise our baby, Sabrina. We can do
What do you say, Mel?
We can go home to Puerto Rico, Sabrina. And we can raise our baby. We can do it.
What?
The thing is, now that he's actually claimed the child, I'm worried that it is Patrick's and not, because I figured
it was always Patrick's loose.
Not be Patrick's. It cannot be Patrick's. Why this insignificant character is now being tied to someone who has a heritage, who is a heritage character for no apparent reason, when she could just be killed.
A heritage character. The only heritage character on this.
He is a Drake. He has
Weber. She is only Hardy running around with her and her little illegitimate children are the only Hardys left on this show.
But he's still a heritage character in comparison to the glory days in the 80s.
Who didn't show up in 1963 is a newbie.
I get your point, but I would still say she has no connection to the show, and now they had to write this pregnancy in supposedly because the actress is pregnant.
They have never confirmed that that's why they wrote the pregnancy in. Number two, she is just as connected to this show as anyone you love on this show. Ava, who we all adore, yes, she's a Jerome, but she is not a Jerome from the 80s. They made that up, too, just like they made Sabrina up. You can't pick and choose. In 1963, no one mentioned Ava Jerome on this show, so you can't play...
It is a soap fan's right to pick and choose whatever they want.
Character. She is not a patriot. She did not come over on the Mayflower and land in Portland.
I understand Luke's disdain for the pregnancy thing. It's not that dramatic and deep. No, it's not that deep about the heritage thing. I'm like, boy, stop. Go sit down somewhere.
Heritage character.
Don't sit down there. Luke, you lose me with that. Like, just shush.
Not in the original Bible of all my children, and that didn't stop you from wanting on 5 weeks and twice on Sunday.
Look, I got this hush. Don't mention the heritage thing. Hush. Hush. When you do that, I gotta kick you out of the nest. They don't need to meet. They don't need to do this. This pregnancy thing. It's too much. The same players involved. The only new person involved. Only two new players in this game, in this dynamic, and that's Carlos and Robin. And it's like, stop it. They don't need to do that. They don't need to do that. They don't. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't. Felix is like, you know, you would swear that it's like Sabrina was having, like, that's Felix's baby. Yeah, he all up in the mix. Ooh, I just want to.
Brad told him about that. Brad told him mm-hmm. what me and Britt was doing was our business, and what Sabrina's doing is her business. And the reason you and everybody's business is because you don't have no damn business. What are you saying, Dad? I said they need to take this to the docks because this is hood.
Oh my God, I screamed. I rewound that. I'm like, thank you. You were speaking for the
now man. Can he go tell Epiphany that? Because she long overdue. Felix is like, dang, I just been a busybody a year. Epiphany been butting in everybody's business for 10 years on this show.
Oh my God, like, Brad totally spoke for the audience. He totally did.
I would have had Felix say something like, oh, well, I hope you got that off your chest because you'll never get this booty
Felix is never going to give it up anyways.
I was Felix. I'd have been like, you want to get that off your chest because you ain't climbing on mine, bitch. I'll for sure. But, oh, my God. Like GH, as much as I love GH, you got too much going on, like too much of the pregnancies going on, too many people coming back from the dead. It's slow it down. They just need to tame some of the things. I mean, you know, I'm kind of scared what Ron would have wrote because, you know, Frank shaded him and was like, Sonny would be going to Mars in that interview. I'm like, Lord Jesus, no. Like, I wish Frank had told him, all right, no more babies for this Sabrina girl. Because she's just too much. It's too much. It's too much. Maybe, you know what? I just thought of a positive thing. Maybe this pregnancy that Sabrina has, maybe it is Carlos's baby. And this will cement, make a clean break from Patrick and his orbit. I mean, she got a clean break now because he's back with his woman. But maybe this will totally, like, dunzo them, like, totally, and I hope it does, Lord.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I'm not thrilled by the twist. I do think it's soapy. I think that Teresa is playing it well. I'm not wowed by her having to be pregnant, but mm-hmm. I don't feel that GH is that baby crazy at this point, because we saw Sammy have 5 in a row, just about, and every time Martha Byrne and her husband grinned at each other in real life, Lily had a baby on World Turns. You know, every time you turned around, Lily and or Carly Titty was walking around with them.
At least they had a few months or like a year or two. Like, this girl literally just got out of a who's the daddy storyline, and now she's back in one.
AJ and, you know, AJ and Jason weren't that far apart in the show in terms of back to back. You know, Monica's baby story, and then Alan gets his mistress pregnant.
Yeah, that was like a year or two later. This girl literally just like a few months later, I'm pregnant.
So smooth, faster than they did back in the day now.
God, but still, I'm like, God, I'm tired of this gal.
And this is what always just drives me to distraction when I see the, can't Robin and Patrick just have a moment to be happy? People don't really want that. You want your neighbor to be happy, but no, I'm talking about for the fans who tweet me that. Why can't Robin and Patrick have had their... What is interesting in seeing that? I mean, what really...
See, I don't know that I would want it for long, but it would have been nice maybe if they had been able to be happy for maybe 3-4 months.
That's a long time, Luke.
That is death in drama. That is, you just killed your favorite couple. If they were happy for 3 or 4 months...
I'm not saying they would have to be happy. What I'm saying is I would have liked it where they could have worked out a lot of the stuff that had transpired while she was gone.
Three or four episodes of happy is enough.
Well, listen, I was
to take them to disaster.
I was happy when she saw Sunny, because you know I have been a bitch on Twitter, like, why won't they have Robert talk to Sunny? Yeah! And when she walked in there and she talked about reuniting with people, and oh my God, when Maurice just slowly turned around and smiled, and she smiled at him, I'm like, oh, I felt like I was in the 90s again. It was so good. And here come AJ messing it up. Bastard! Oh, when Sonny Ho checked him, it was epic.
But I'm so glad they played that history. I'm so glad they brought up Robin is the reason that AJ knows the truth, because I was too through with Robin. I was so over Robin when she stuck her nose itself in that.
Well, somebody said that they compared Felix to Robin with that.
She was, like, but you know, not really, because that was her man.
No, because I said it, because I told them, I'm like, no, Robin told the truth because Carly was using that baby as a weapon to destroy her relationship with her man. Felix opened his trap to use that baby as a weapon so his friend can get her man. So
Felix
that's kind
of lives vicariously through all of his straight friends, because as much as he flirted with all the guys in town, he does not, for some reason, he's scared to have a real relationship with friends. So he just lives.
His sisters had more action than he had.
I'm playing Dr. Marlena Evans, but that's my psychotherapist analysis of him. It's that he's too scared to have a real relationship with him for himself. So he has to just live through Sabrina and Patrick and their therapy.
God. But I just
That or he has the best dildo ever.
Didn't you just love when Sonny, I'm ignoring you. Didn't you just love when Sonny and Robin had their little chit-chat, Jamie?
I did. You know, I'm happy that they finally, that wasn't that big of a thing on the checkoff list for me, because even though I loved their relationship in the past, you know, Guza definitely took them away from that, you know, from where they were.
The, I'm glad that was,
I mean, I am glad that they finally had their seed. I am more happy right now that because the one thing that was bothering me for the last month or so was that with all of the stuff playing out with Morgan and Michael, Carly was so busy happily humping Franco. So I'm glad that they've tied, even though now she's missing, I'm glad that they had those beats, because I'm like, okay, the Carly I know and love would not only hate Ava, she would hate Kiki, because this little girl
just
her way into her boy's relationship.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, the prerequisite Carly pulling out her checkbook and said, how much is it going to take to make you and your slut mother disappear? So I'm glad that now the clan Corinthos has finally, you know, short in around this, even though it's another wonky, crazy Hella Weber saga. You know, it's doing what I needed to do in putting all of Sonny's children and baby mamas in the same orbit. I love him and Olivia. I think that she is like the perfect partner for him at this point in his life. She's the OG baby mama. And, you know, it's kind of hood fresh. It's like, oh, you go back to the original one that gave you a baby. And she's basically become the de facto matriarch of your myriad of children with every woman in town, you know.
How funny would it be if Robin was to find Carly? That would be kind of funny.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm wondering what, you know, I know that Franco is about to, you know, Heather is going to keep gaslighting Franco for a minute. I do know, I've heard Carly and Robin will have some interaction. I don't know if it's going to be during this, because, you know, that was my big thing. I was more interested in that, Robin. You know, my thing was, when is Robin going to see Carly? Yeah, I love her and Sonny, but that's Carly's mortal enemy. So I needed a, you know, good, you know, I wanted her, I want Carly to be happy that she's alive, but I did want like a smirk, like, damn, you can't even stay dead, can you?
You know, you can't keep it, or something, you know, something there. It would be kind of funny if she found her, and in true Carly fashion, she'd be like, damn, you know what I mean? Something.
I just need the pay cut, because she obviously is not tending to that boathouse if raccoons.
She's a maid. She don't tend to the boathouse. That's the boss.
That's the gardener's job.
That's the
record show. Monica Quartermain told AJ, leave it for Alice. So they obviously have that as one of Alice's duties on Monica's estate.
Well, Monica also got up in Silas's face because she ain't chief of staff no more, and he ain't even do nothing to that bitch. So Monica need to take a nap, boo.
I heard AJ yelling out there. I was laughing. I said, look at these two lushes out here yelling outside on the estate. I'm like, see, trash with money. Trash.
Oh, my God. I liked when Sonny dressed him down, when Sonny was like, you took my son away from me. Oh, it is AJ. He's my son. And Sonny sounded so childish, but I thought it was funny. When Sonny was like, shut up. I said, oh,
that is so crazy.
That was so, I just thought that was funny. Maurice and AJ, shut up.
Maurice is like, look at here. Don't think I'm asleep, because this is still my house.
Yes.
I paid for it.
That's lovely.
And on that note, Mel, final thoughts.
My final thought is I'm excited to see more Ava versus Carly. You know, if Carly ever gets unkidnapped on GH, because I want the battle of the blonde bitches. Like, turn this into Barbara versus Carly, early 2000s As the World Turns. Like, those are my dreams. I have visions.
Oh,
it would be
that
amazing.
Would be great.
So there.
Jillian?
My final thought is Carly better hope them raccoons don't come for her. Shit.
Jamie.
Maybe she can teach them how to chew or not. A chew hopefully a knot.
Yeah.
My final thought is this. It was a tale of two salty soaps.
Oh, boy.
One soap was killing on screen. And one soap was killing with news behind the scenes. I'm looking for the day when the number one soap is as good on screen as its poor relation is behind the scene. I mean, you know, let me reverse that. I'm looking for the day. I'm just going to forget the metaphors. That is why it are needs to get as good as Days of Our Lives. If that takes Steve Kitt paying Gary Tomlin, Chris Whitesell, Greg Ming, and Lorraine Broderick a consulting fee to go over there and be like auditors. You know how when auditors show up at a plant, they need to send their full asses over there to the Young and the Restless. Look, they can borrow the plane that my community's fans chartered to fly
or the one Steve Burton isn't using.
Don't say that, don't, boy. They're gonna do a magazine cover. I'm gonna get tweeted, please. Steve Burton, you pays for his own Greyhound bus ticket. Stop that. Anyway.
Even though he said in three different.
I rebuke you. No, I don't want.
No,
I'm not driving back down
no.
that road. I'm not
no,
driving down that road.
No, you're flying back down that road.
Back to.
He might have took the Amtrak.
I don't know what he's doing. Santa Claus might Rudolph the Red Nose Burton. Look, Santa Claus said, Steve, will you guide my sleigh tonight? That's how you get to work. I don't give a shit no more. But back to Days at Y&R. Y&R needs to pay attention to what Days is doing. Because with bare-bone sets, only a handful of actors, hardly any new casting turnover, Days has become fire. And these shows are both owned by this company, this conglomerate that also gave us Breaking Bad. Come on now, Y&R, you're number one soap. Get it together. They need to send them over there and say, look here, y'all, we'll help y'all out a little bit. We'll tell y'all what y'all are doing wrong, you know, because...
Well, they need to live up to that name. You know, they're all taking, you know, Instagram pictures. We number one. We number one. We number one. We number one. Live up to the number one title. You know, who said it? Smitty with his cockeyed self. Smitty is my boy, so I could do that. Hey, Smitty. Smitty said one day, he was like, you know, why do people go hard against Y&R instead of the other shows? And I replied to him, because they are the number one show. They are the golden, they have the gold standard. They are the top dogs. If you keep liking, if Luke tells me I am number one for my SATs or something like that, and he's not showing that, then I'm going to keep dogging you on that. Well, you said that you got the highest score in all the land, bro, so why aren't you living up to that? That's like YNR. They keep saying it. They are the number one show. That's fine. That's well and dandy, but live up to your name.
And if that was all it took, if that was all that mattered, Maria would still be there. And Lynn Marie would still be there. Obviously, there's more of a benchmark for the people that own this show and for the network that, you know, that runs the show than being number one, because it's been number one since 1988. Yet they've gone through, you know, more freaking executive producer teams in the last few years and writing teams than Felix is going through dildos, as Luke pointed out on GH. Because obviously that's not the only benchmark, because they stayed number one with Kay Alden and Jack Smith and Ed Scott at the helm. They got rid of them. They stayed number one with LML. They got rid of them. They stayed number one with Maria. They got rid of her. So being number one is not enough anymore. It has to be number one in spirit and in truth. And in that, we shall part you, bid you adieu.
Oh, I get my final thought.
What is your final thought?
My final thought is...
Heritage characters!
No, I got a little bit worried watching Days of Our Lives this last week when Hope left Sierra with Teresa. I was like, boy, oh boy, if Salem burns down in the next 5 minutes, I won't be surprised. Because you know, if those two start conspiring, the place will be possessed and in flames.
Sierra will teach Jeannie a thing or three about how to be a Brady schemer.
Until next time, folks. So long.
I am poof.